Hi, my name is David Dakota. I'm the director and co-producer of Murder Weapon.
I'm Linnea Quigley, Scream Queen Extraordinaire, and I'm in the film. I think I co-produced it. And
you did co-produce it?
Yes, I did. I did. I thought I did. Yes. Along with Ellen Cabot, which is...
Ellen Cabbage.
Cabbage. I'm sorry.
This is interesting.
See, I think I remember I like had a little facial expression just to liven it up, like it would really be when you sleep. See the eyebrows, you know, and REM sleep.
Oh, this is your little dream sequence.
This is one where you laughed at me because I looked like such a you know, I'm like
innocent little girl.
Yeah, I'm like 30 and I've got pigtails in, going, I'm chewing gum still, and I'm like, oh, I'm looking at everything in Beverly Hills. And,
well, this movie came about, I had started a video label called Cinema Home Video, and I needed product for the video label, and so I had a fairly decent success with Deadly Embrace, so I thought, well, what the heck, I'll make movies that I distribute myself and not license them to anybody, and put them out myself, so I start making a lot of movies, and this was pretty much the first one. We had a really nice piece of key art from our foreign sales and everything, so I decided to put this movie out on my home video label and called Cinema Home Video. This sequence was shot up in Beverly Hills. That's Vicki Nesbitt right there, and then of course the blonde is Linnea. And so we shot this in about six days?
Yeah, I think it was 6 days we shot.
Six
yes.
6 days, and
we had a couple locations.
Yeah. And so we, well, we started, well, this was an afterthought, actually. Remember, we shot Murder Weapon and it came in really short.
Yes.
So this was sequences we added later. And this is, I think, shot maybe several months later. And I'm not sure, I can't remember this actor's name at all, but it all kind of was put together very quickly, silent. We shot it all silent. And shot in 16mm. This is, we used the Panavision Elaine camera, which is a big old camera, 16mm camera, but it had great lenses, and we decided to shoot 16mm Panavision. And I think this is a full frame 1.33 image, and I think we're looking at the answer print right now, or the low con print. So it's a, anyway, so I had this idea about inverting the genre and not make the victims the women, make the men the victims. So this was the first movie like that. I ended up licensing this title to a company called Image Entertainment, this is interesting, okay. Called Image Entertainment, and we had they licensed it for a nice sizable fee just for Laserdisc. So it did come out on Laserdisc, which I thought was kind of cool. And who else was in there? You and Karen Russell.
Karen Russell.
Yeah. So.
Yes, yes.
Now, this is where I was giggling while we were shooting
this.
Oh,
yeah, because you make me get a glass of milk, and I drink the milk, and... Did you have me get a milk mustache? I can't remember.
I think so.
I'm like, it was just like, you know, you were laughing at me the whole time with the pigtails, and I'm like trying to keep a straight face and stay like this sweet little girl.
But this was a slasher movie. We decided to go a little gorier with it because gore seemed to be kind of popular at the time, so we did shoot a bunch of inserts of gore, and it was a pretty wild... little gore fest. I think David Barton did the makeup effects. So I think you introduced me to him, didn't
Yes,
you?
I did. I took you over. Yes, there's the milk mustache that, you know, you loved so much. And then I'm on to other things. And she plays my sister.
Oh, is that the story?
Yeah, okay. She's my sister.
I can't remember. I haven't seen this movie since we made it. So.
Yeah. So it's like I'm just coming home from school and... You know, she, of course, is oiling up herself, as usual.
Yes, oily.
And I'm, like, just happy to see my sister, and someone's sneaking up on her.
We think this is a creeper, and it's actually her boyfriend, I guess.
Yes. And this was, like, you know, like, one of those ones that, like, pretty soon it was like, I think probably the first day that we were on this, that she has a little scene coming up, and again, everybody, male friend or somebody of the film, came to watch
this scene.
Yes, and I was yelling at people to get out of the room, getting nasty looks from men, you know, who...
Oh,
were,
that's right, you were the co-producer, yeah. So you were trying to keep it a close...
Yeah, I was talking to Fred, saying, get everybody out of the room that's not involved in this, and there were a few that stayed behind because they thought they were, you know,
big
privy
shots.
To this. Yeah, yes, big shots.
The big shots that were allowed to sit in on
this.
On, what is it, a closed set.
Seeing breasts.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God.
So. And look, I even have, like, those anklets with the, like, the, little ruffles on, even.
Was the water cold there?
No, actually, the water was pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where everybody, I'm like trying to kick them out and everything, because she was a little bit nervous about doing this, I think. And I said, I'll get the people out.
Yeah, that's cool. So this was part of the pickup shots, and then we shot a day at that. Well, we shot for a couple of days at a house that
found
us, and then the yes. owner ended up being kind of strange, and then we left and moved over to Rachel Forney's house, and we got it done at Rachel Forney's house, and then we had to do a day of inserts and stuff at a studio. I can't remember the name of the studio, but it was in the valley.
It was up in the valley.
Yeah.
Yes, it was up in the valley.
It was one of those old movie studios, like indie movie studios. Not like movie... Well, they like movie tech, but in the valley. And there was an insert stage. I think they did a lot of adult stuff there.
Yes.
They did. And we shot some scenes coming up, like in garage interior, the basement. What else we do there? All the effects inserts, I think we did
murder
there.
Stuff.
All the killing scenes we shot there as well.
But when we rented the house, I remember I got that location and I talked to the man of the house, and it was like had flocked wallpaper that had sex images in it.
Oh, I know.
And they like she said she worked for the police as a psychic, and that she thought she knew that we had to undo our generators and things because there was going to be an earthquake. And the place would catch fire, and she said somebody stole her cork platter, which was like, you know, you could buy it at any bar or anything. And it was like they were doing yard work, and the
pool
strange. Was supposed to be heated, and it wasn't heated, and poor Karen had to jump into this freezing water.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. So I'm glad I 2 days of that, I said we should probably get out of here.
Yeah.
So,
without them even knowing, you called me and said, we're pulling out.
And then you kill her naked.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
You kill her naked. That's right.
I remember walking down that little, like, it was like almost a closet thing and doing something bad.
Oh, no, you kill him in the shower.
Yeah. It's like I act like I'm going to do something with him, and then... It turns.
He doesn't see the knife, though, I guess.
No. No, I'm hiding it from him, and he's preoccupied.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I got the knife behind your back, and you're making out with him.
I know, he like doesn't think that anything's going on.
He's like, oh, hi. There's some good acting there.
Yeah, that's
eyelids
like, I'm like, yeah, I'm like REMing it.
Oh, God. Didn't we do a lot of these kind of scenes in the 80s?
Oh yeah, a lot. Oh, all these flashbacks and
hey, you didn't have to wear any makeup on this one though. Any makeup effects?
No. Wise. Oh my God, you're right. I didn't.
Like Return of the Living Dead.
Oh,
and
gosh,
Night of the
Demons. Night of the Demons. Yeah, then no like 6 to 11 hour makeup effects. It was great. I mean, there was hardly any makeup, which was really nice.
Yeah, just a little bit of, you know, glamour makeup, and there you go. Oh, no, actually, at the end, you do have a big makeup. And
Wait, I do! My God, yes!
It was supposed to,
and you apologized.
I thought it was going to be just a little scarring on your
yes.
face, and then Dave Barton brought in this huge...
Of course. You know, they all do. And Lyle Wagner's in it.
That's right. He plays the doesn't he play the your shrink or something?
Yes, he's my shrink. And then, you know, Rose was his name. He was a guy that always had his police outfit with him because it'd be an extra policeman.
Oh, Lenny Rose.
Lenny Rose. Yeah, that was it.
Lenny Rose. He had his own policeman's uniform, so I used him in Dr. Alien and Lady Avenger and everything. Stephen Stewart.
And Stephen Stewart, yeah.
I met him through Rick Sloan. Rick Sloan introduced me to him. He was in one of those Vice Academy movies.
Exactly, that's right. And then he did something called Blood Nasty for Richard Gavai.
Right.
Yes.
Alan, I met through, he was doing a lot of like action movies and stuff, and worked with him quite a bit. Richard Sebastian, I met through Royce Matthew.
Oh, wow.
So back in those days, we just put everybody together. We got put together friends of friends. Hey, you know. Now, Damon Charles is actually Eric Freeman. And I have a story about Eric a little later on in this commentary. But and then Roger Bird had done Lady Avenger for me and American Rampage, I think. And he's a good guy. And then Victoria Nesbitt.
Yes, yes. Who was in the Horror Workout and in Deadly Embrace, right?
Right. Yeah. I think, oh, Alan Tombello, I think, was the guy at the beginning.
Okay, that must have been
him. I met him through Fred Kenemer.
And there's Lenny.
And Lenny Rose, special
yes.
billing.
Oh my God, yes. And Lenny Rose.
And
Royce was
Matthew,
great.
He's the best production designer.
There's David Barton.
David Barton.
In fact, when you met David Barton, you met...
who did I meet? Oh, I think I met David Barton, and then I met your ex-husband.
Yes.
Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson. Yeah, because he worked for him.
And music and composed and conducted by Del Casher. And the credit before that, Michael Seaman was a camera assistant or gaffer on a few of my movies he wanted to shoot, so I let him shoot this one. Clayton Woolley's the editor. He's an excellent editor.
Yes.
He edited a lot of movies. And then I took executive producer credit, but at this time I wasn't taking director credit, and it was for a number of reasons, and I can't really remember. Ross Aperon, I'm not sure how I met Ross. Oh, I think I met him through... Maybe he wrote American Rampage or something. I can't remember. Maybe it was... I can't remember how I met him. It might have been through a producer named Raj Marotra. It may have been. I can't really remember. And then Ellen Cabbage was my camp pseudonym.
Yes.
Ah, Lenny
There's
Rose.
Lenny.
Lenny.
Now, during this scene, I remember so vividly, he was nervous, and he was moving his feet. And the cement.
Oh.
And it was making a horrible noise, and you just said, stop it! Stop it! I mean, after a while, you just got so upset that he kept doing it, that, you know, and which would make him more nervous.
I know. I wasn't exactly an actor's director.
Well, you'd had enough of it after a while.
But Lenny was a good... I gave him a bunch of crazy roles in movies, because he was always... It's just this wonderful character actor who obviously had his own policeman's uniform, but I put him in Cave Girl Island, which he's absolutely hilarious, and I love Lenny Rose.
Yes, no.
He's a good guy, really good guy, and a good actor, knew his lines, took direction, showed up on time, hit his marks, and no drama, but sometimes he shuffled his feet underneath the desk,
and
made a little bit of noise.
Right. A tragedy. Is Lenny working anymore?
Yeah, I think he's around.
Oh, okay.
I get submissions from him once in a while.
Okay.
But remember, this was... When did we do this? We shot this in 89?
89. Oh, my
89.
God, yes. In fact, when we were shooting...
21 years ago.
Yeah, that's scary.
No,
it was more.
It was 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
When we were over at that studio in the Valley, that's when the Horror Workout was born. Ken Hall came to visit. And we were talking about how killing people is so hard. You know, you have to do, you know, with axes and stuff again and again. And it was like, we decided to do that.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, when Ken mentioned it, I said, oh, I think this would be great. So I put up half the money, and Ruth Landers, Judy Landers, and Audrey Landers' mom put up the other half. And you guys went out and made it. And
2 days.
It was funny. was a funny little, you know, Linnea Quigley's horror workout. It was great. Yeah. Zombies doing little numbers and stuff like that. It was so elaborate. It was like, wow, all these zombies and everything like that. And one of the actors that was a zombie in that also became a big soap star. I think his name was Brett or Brent.
Was he the one that tall. Looked like Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, was really tall, but he's thin.
Yes.
But he went on to do some big stuff. But, no, this was the good old, late 80s, early 90s, when the business was really kicking in mainly in the 80s. That's when the video revolution took off.
And this was on 16, correct?
This was shot in 16mm. Not Super 16, just regular 16mm.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the good old days.
But this is lit so great.
It's all good. Mike Seaman, who, I think he was also your DP on Horror Workout.
Yep.
Yeah, good guy. Yep. I really like Mike. He's a really good guy, and his girlfriend, or maybe even his wife at the time, Kathleen Coates, was a good production designer, art director, costumer. She was quite good.
Oh, gotcha.
They had worked a lot for a company called PM Entertainment.
Yep.
So they had done just tons of action movies and stuff, so they were working a lot in the independent, you know, modestly budgeted area, so they knew how to work quick. But Mike was also kind of he really wanted to be a DP, so... And he had worked with me in lighting and camera, and I thought I would give him a shot.
Yeah.
I don't really remember any.
It's not easy to accept.
Oh, I also put Lenny, I think I put him in American Rampage. Yeah. I think I put him in a few other ones. You came in and did American Rampage for me, too.
Yeah. So. I mean, I can't even really remember what I did, but I remember being there.
You were a victim, most likely,
assassin. I remember just showing up. At some apartment or something, last minute.
Right.
On that.
So this is apparently, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen this movie, so I can't remember, but I think we did shoot this at that soundstage in the Valley.
Yes, I remember doing that at the soundstage.
Right.
And this was this long scene between us.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, explains, like,
and this was the original opening of the movie, which was probably not the best way to start a thriller or a horror film with the whole big dialogue scene. So that's why we added that whole kill at the beginning.
Yeah.
We went back and shot that stuff all over again.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I haven't seen this in, like, that many years, too, because it wasn't available, you know?
Yeah,
just
couldn't
get it.
I put it out on my label, and it was great to have out on my label, mm-hmm. and... it was our biggest hit on the label, and unfortunately, you know, VHS started to decline, and I was kind of doing way too much, and I was getting a lot more directing offers and stuff, so I basically closed it up in its current form, or at the time current form, and the numbers just, I couldn't make enough movies, so I had to hire a lot of people to make movies, and that didn't work out that great, so I decided, what the heck, I will... make the company dormant and see what happens. And then of course it was the 90s, and I was working my butt off for Full Moon and for Charlie Band, gaming my own video label, which was called Torchlight, to run, and I just had too much work to do, so I just could not run a video company but it was fun. It was a fun ride, and it was fun to have all these make all these little movies, and you know, I'm kind of back doing that again with the DVD company with Rapid Heart and stuff. So I'm back, and you know, we did a movie together recently called Cougar Cult.
Oh yeah.
And it's I'm back, but it's a different world now. It's a different business. It's a little different how things play out in the package media business. So it's a little different than VHS, but I miss the good old days of the VHS. Business, you know.
Yeah. It's coming back again. I think the VHS, at least sales, because the artwork is so good on.
Oh
them.
Yeah, the used copies, and apparently some companies are actually putting out like limited run VHS releases. Remember on this when we launched this movie, and we went to the VSDA convention.
Yes, I remember that.
And
in Vegas.
You were swarmed by all those retailers. That was a big deal. Remember that?
Yeah,
you were sworn. We had a really good VSDA show in Vegas. We flew out there and did it, and really promoted you and promoted the film. And we did. I think we did exceptionally well for our first release.
Oh, God,
and I'm
yeah.
glad we stuck with, you know, I'm glad we stuck with, you know, with this sort of theme by bringing you back and like the girl I want and things, which was going to be a cinema home video release, but ended up being more of a, you know, the owner of the film decided that he wanted to own the rights and.
Oh,
and wait for a better offer. But,
okay.
Yeah, but but this, you know, boy, this is a long scene.
It is.
I can't believe we were going to start the movie out like this.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's longer than Nightmare Sisters beginning. That's for sure. It's like very, very long, but it, I think it's coming to the end now. But
this is a good dramatic role for you, though.
It was. It was like one of the first, you know, non-comedic or action-type roles that I'd done, I think, with you, really.
Right. Well, that you've done entirely. I think this is your biggest
role.
Yeah,
you're right. That's true. Yeah, because either...
Well, you had a big role in Nightmare Sisters, obviously.
But I was, you know, just silly.
Okay. Yeah, you were being goofy and stuff. But this was your most dramatic and
yes.
heavy duty. Unfortunately, Murder Weapon... you know, luckily we're putting re-releasing it out on DVD, and it's one of those things where, to me, you know, I thought these movies had a very short life, and like when I did Sorority Babes or when I did Creepazoids or when we did those movies,
yeah,
I thought those movies would come out on video and that would be it.
Yes,
and they were. Critically shunned. I mean, people just, oh, this is lame, blah, blah, blah. And now people look back at those movies as though they're fucking works of art.
Yeah. They recite the lines to me.
Right.
Here's where poor Karen had to jump in a cold pool that I asked them to heat.
Oh, no.
And I think we gave them $200 extra just to heat it.
And it was still cold.
And it was cold, yeah. You know, at night in L.A., so.
Now, this is Eric Freeman in a Speedo. This is Eric Freeman. Eric Freeman, I got a long story about Eric Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Eric was in a film that was a sequel to one of your movies.
Okay.
The movie was Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, my God.
Where you get killed on antlers or something.
Yes.
And then there was a sequel that was kind of an unofficial sequel called Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. And Eric played the killer in that one.
Yeah. Dream sequence.
Dream sequence. And then played the killer in that one. And then, so I went to see it at the Egyptian Theater. And I looked at it, and I thought it was a fairly decent movie. Lenny Rose was also in Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2.
Yeah. Do you play a policeman?
Good. And then she wakes up. Oh, here we go. Okay, and so I saw him and I go, God, that guy's good. I mean, he's a really great-looking guy. He's just a really good-looking guy. And I said, you know, I wonder if, you know, and then Lenny came in and auditioned for me for something, and I told him, I said, hey, Lenny, this is back when Hollywood Boulevard, they were all the movie theaters were, you know, there's all first-run movie theaters, and I lived right off of Hollywood Boulevard, so you could just walk down Hollywood Boulevard and see all the first-run movies, including all the first-run B titles at, like, the Hollywood Pacific or the Backstage Egyptian or the World Theater, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said to Lenny, I said, hey, who was that guy that was in Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2 with you? I said, he's got a great look. He'd be perfect for one of my movies. And he goes, his name is Eric Freeman. He goes, let me give him a call. And sure enough, 2 minutes later, I get a call from Eric Freeman saying, hey, I hear your director, Lenny Rose, told me to call you. And I said, yeah, I thought you were great in Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2. Let's get together. So he came in, and I think he auditioned, or I'm not sure if he auditioned, but somehow he hung out, and he... Really? It's the first film. I think this may have been the first film.
Okay. Are you still taking yourself?
And this may have been... Maybe this is the only film I did with Eric Freeman. No. After this, I put him in Ghost Rider. He was really good in Ghost Rider. And, you know, so...
You know who I ran into the other day?
Eric. What did he have to say? So he, but he was in this movie, and you know, he was a trainer. He was exercising, and he was always telling Dave, "I want to be your trainer. I want to get you in shape. I want to get you in shape." And he was, we became good friends. He hung out at my place all the time. We became very, very close. And I really adored the guy. He was a real hard worker. And we, you know, he got a good agent. And maybe he did another. Could he have been in? No, he wasn't in The Girl I Want, I don't think.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, and but again, it's one of those things where. Yeah, he was in Ghost Rider, which isn't out on DVD, but came out on video and television and stuff. And we kept in touch, and then, again, at some point we lost touch, and I did not see him around and anymore. I didn't know where he, you know, went. I don't know. It's just one of those things. I mean, this is before the internet. This is before cell phones.
God, yes.
This is before cell phones, internet, before everything. So, you know, it's a long time ago. But he used to hang out a lot at my place, and we became good friends. But then it just, you lose touch, you know.
Yeah.
Once in a while you lose touch. I think what happened was, this was about 1991, 92, something like that. And so I told him, I said, look, let's, you know, let me just try to find Eric. And I couldn't find him anywhere. I remember calling all of the numbers. I remember he was living in somebody's guest house for a while. And that number was disconnected. And I was doing more movies. And I was doing, I can't remember what I was doing. But there was we were doing a lot of films. And then suddenly I lost touch with him. I thought that he might have done possibly some late night erotica. Mm-hmm. Kind of looked like him on one or two of them. I don't know. I lost touch with him. Then all of a sudden, I start getting all kinds of emails from people. Like, this is just recently, over the past year.
Oh.
Looking for him. And saying, you know, we really like Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, which I think may have come out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happened to Eric Freeman, and they wanted to find him. And, and then it became sort of an obsession. Then they have a Facebook page and of where's Eric Freeman, and people start searching, and you know, people search, you know, and for these people, and they've not found him yet. And so if for some reason Eric
Freeman is out there,
Eric Freeman's out there, if he's out there, he sees this movie and hears this commentary, please get a hold of us.
And David's number's 818. No, I'm joking.
And, you know, just, you know, give me a shout. And through Facebook or my website, rapidheart.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Lyle Waggoner. Lyle is a great guy. Lyle, I was a fan of for a number of years.
Carol Burnett Show.
Well, the Carol Burnett Show was a classic.
I mean,
many fashion designers and stuff say that they got all of their influence not from anybody other than the Carol Burnett Show because of those crazy Bob Mackie. So it was kind of like the gayest variety show on television. It was so campy. But there was Lyle, always just kind of a hoot.
Yes.
In the show. But what the performance I liked most about Lyle Waggoner's was he did a film called what was it called? He played Chief Boyardee. Chief Boyardee was called, what was it called? Something Something Part 2, Better Than the Original, or something like that. I can't remember. I can't even remember the goddamn. Hold on a second. I'm on the internets right now, so let me.
You can find it in an instant.
I'll find it. But what was it called? Surf 2. The end of the trilogy. Surf 2, the end of the trilogy.
I've heard of that one.
It came out briefly, but on video. But Lyle is so hilarious in it that I thought, well, this guy he's at least got a sense of humor about himself, and his timing is great. He obviously is an extremely handsome man, but Lyle is also an extremely successful entrepreneur. He owns those trailers, those movie trailers, Star Wagons. They called Star Wagons.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they start Wagons spelled with two G's, like he spells Waggoner with two G's. And so he he, what should I say?
He rents them out?
Well, he rents them out, and he's, like, it's become a huge success for him. I mean, it's huge. And so I thought, well, you know, this guy probably doesn't need to do a low-budget horror movie, but I liked him. The casting director, Jerry Wolff, mentioned him, and,
there are many others who don't possess.
Hold on a second here.
Those are the ones who really need.
But he did. He said, "Hey, I'll come to your movie," and he came down, and we had a great time. He only worked like 3 or 4 hours, I think, was a very short day.
Yes.
And this was done against, obviously, against the white, white.
And that was at that studio.
That was at that studio. And this might have been, people have probably already seen the movie before they see this commentary. You guys are psychopaths.
Yes. Yes. Well, even though it had such a little run, this might be their first time, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we're psychopaths, which was fun. It was, like you said, it was fun to play, you know, a serious role with a lot of dialogue and things like that. No rehearsal time, just, okay, you know, sit here and say your lines. And Karen was great in it.
Karen's great. Basically, on Facebook, Eric Freeman is the greatest actor of all time, is what it says. It's garbage day, apparently, is the line from Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, which I have to admit I have not seen since I saw it in the theater at the Egyptian, the backstage at the Egyptian. The Egyptian theater is the oldest theater in Hollywood. Uh-huh. And in the very back, they have two little screening rooms, and they have, there may be a couple of hundred seats each, and they would put all the B titles back there.
That so, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I remember, like, being at the set early and then till late because I was co-producing it, and I'm trying to think, wasn't it on Murder Weapon that either E came out or Entertainment came out? Somebody came out the last day.
No, it was on this day. Remember what happened was is
yes.
The co-producer of the film, Fred Kenemer, who's now a very, very popular producer in the reality television world, and he had a friend named John Horn who was a stringer for Associated Press.
Oh.
And he came out and did an article on us.
In the newspaper, which we still have.
Yeah, well, what happened was, it was Associated Press, so he wrote this article on doing a slasher movie with no money and micro budget and blah, blah, blah. And so the Associated Press, like, I guess, this,
release.
Yeah, and suddenly it all kind of just, you know, took off, and suddenly all these newspapers all over the country were running this article. It was a huge thing.
Oh, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Had you behind the camera.
That's right, that's
right. And everything. I've still got that article. I love the short shorts on the guys.
Yes.
Well, one has short shorts on. But
now, that's Eric Freeman on the right.
Yep.
Well, that's Richard. That's
Stephen
Stewart and Alan Furst.
Yep.
And then that's Richard Sebastian on the left there, wearing his moose head.
Oh, God, yeah. Now, Cindy Warren, my friend, and became your friend, too, did the makeup for this.
Yeah, she did. This was this was the first day of shooting right here.
Yeah.
Day one of, day
this
one.
This is the crazy house.
This is the crazy house. Day one of the first day of shooting.
Yeah, where the guys show up.
Yeah, and what happened was Eric did not really care much for his makeup.
No, he didn't.
So he said, "Hey, you know, let's let me."
He liked the tan.
He wanted to be more tan, so he said, "Let me do my own makeup." So he did his own makeup.
He just kept getting into that. That pot of makeup, though.
And then he started to see, look at these sex positions on the...
Oh, my God, you're right.
Look at that on this wallpaper.
I know, which is, like, so weird.
Yeah, so wild. So I told So he did his own makeup, and then he was teasing the girls in the cast, remember? When he was dressing, we didn't have dressing rooms at the time, so he was, dress changing his wardrobe, and he looked at all the girls, and he goes, "Hey, girls, He was just teasing them, but he was like, hey, girls. He goes, you might as well take a look at this now, because in a couple of months, you're going to have to pay to see this.
It was like so funny. I loved that.
It was so funny.
I loved
it. He had a sense of humor. And he goes, Dave, he goes, you know, the only reason I'm doing this movie, and I said, why? And he goes, because you told me I should come do the movie because it was going to be a hoot.
A hoot.
And he never heard that before. What is this leg shaving thing?
I think it has to do with another flashback, I
think. Oh, that's right.
If I am not mistaken. I mean, like, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember something along
the... Oh, that, this is the blood or something like that.
Something like that, I think happens.
Yeah, I can't...
Because, of course, she goes into ecstasy having her leg shaved. This was before, you know, you went... Oh, yeah, she, like, slits her wrist. It's like, oh, okay. She has a lot of traumatic stuff going on. And Kieran was a... Look at those short shorts.
Those are... Wow. Eric's got some short shorts on there.
Man. Yeah.
This is some spread.
Really going up there.
There's some sunglasses, too.
Oh, yeah. And Bruce look at those aviators. Ray-Bans. Got them all going on.
She tell you?
But it's like, no, I think the guys had fun doing it.
Everybody seemed to have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
There's some really heavy dramatic scenes near the end that are pretty funny, though.
Yes.
Pretty funny.
Oh, my God, yes. And I'm almost positive I do have a nude scene with somebody in here.
You make out with Eric.
Yeah, but I think I have in the bed or something like that.
Look at those short shorts on Eric.
They're very high. Because when he walked in, it looked like he just had the shirt on. I'm like, where's his pants? It's like, what are you wearing? But yeah, it was funny. It was like, he kept getting oranger and oranger on screen.
Oh, well.
But, you know, he learned. Not to mess with the makeup. Then that top is in the horror workout, and Cindy made it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Or wait a second, is that topless?
Yes, I can't believe I'm wearing that.
I can't believe you're not wearing anything underneath
it. I know!
I
was naughty.
You were naughty.
My God.
And I don't even remember you not wearing anything underneath it.
I know, but I don't either.
This is Roger Burt, who was one of the leads in Lady Avenger and one of the leads in American Rampage, and a really solid guy. Sort of the Jack Webb school of acting, very understated and stuff. They're a really sweet guy. I really love Roger Burt.
Oh, wow.
I wonder whatever happened to Rob.
There's the sex wallpaper in the background.
The sex wallpaper.
Hopefully we'll get to see the flocked red stuff.
You're a little out of shape.
No.
Fucked him to death.
That's right, yeah, I'm reading lips again. Oh, my God.
Oh, they had sex, apparently.
Yes. After shaving the legs.
After shaving, that's what happens after you shave legs, right?
Oh, yeah.
You get it.
He needed it.
Look at this top you're wearing. I had no idea.
I know. Oh, my God.
There's nothing.
I was wearing white boots with the swimsuit, too. I was. When I walked away, I noticed. I'm like, what? I love wearing boots, and it's like I just like decided, okay, I'm going to sunbathe with my boots on.
That's what you did in the 80s, right?
Yeah, that's what I did in the
80s. You had a shirt was all cut up.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, the shirt
was coming back now, though.
It is?
Yes.
It's coming back, but we should have had a little, like, bikini underneath it or something.
Yeah,
or
bandeau top, something.
Yeah, something. It's just so explicit.
Or do I have a bathing suit on?
I think you have. Do you have bottoms on there, or are you naked?
No, I have bottoms on.
Okay.
I do have bottoms.
It's flesh colored.
Yeah.
There it is. You know, it's pink or something.
Yeah.
So naughty.
Yeah, I know. Naughty.
Wandering around the set. I'm the co-producer.
Yeah, I'm the co-producer. Come on in. Yeah, I see a nipple there. Oh, my God.
It's all sneaking right out.
I know it.
Unbelievable. I had no idea that you were even topless in this. See, that should have been a clue.
Yeah, that's like very strange to see that.
And she keeps running in. I keep focusing on her waist down.
I know it.
I don't even tilt in.
I know it. It's so funny.
Eric's got his short shorts.
Oh, here he goes. I wonder if he's going to take it all off now.
No, I don't think he does.
And
I think
he was. Looking at her bathing suits. It's like a.
It's like a leopard or something.
Like a tiger. Yeah. Like, that's when everybody had prints of lions in their.
Oh, there's cocaine in this movie.
Oh, my God. Drugs.
I can't believe.
I wonder what you used.
We probably used some sort of God knows what. There's your top again, all
I
nipples.
I know.
Nipples
going out the front door of my house.
Nipples popping out like that.
Yeah.
You're all proud.
Here, I think we're going to the garage.
Oh, this is your makeup scene. It was supposed to be a sex scene.
Yeah.
Because Eric was going to do a bunch of nudity. Now, this was shot at that soundstage in the valley.
Yes. And. I don't know whose car that
Eric, is. Eric, we were going to get naked and do a full sex scene in the back of the car.
Oh.
And we decided not to.
That's
right. We were running out of time, I think, and I said, but Eric was more than happy to do the nude scene. He was more than happy, so.
And then we're like kissing like mad. Kissing like that. Wait to get in there.
And then what I can't remember what the line is. It's like a goofball line. But there was supposed to be, you guys were supposed to get in the back seat and have sex in the back.
We never
did that.
How funny. And there's my signature bracelets that I wore for many years until they just, I couldn't fix them anymore.
Oh, this is Mike Jacobs Jr.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Motorcycle shot. Yeah.
Tough guy.
And the tearing your pants so that your knee sticks out. Which now the jeans are selling like that again, too.
Remember when we did our Nightmare Sisters, he just walks right in.
Yeah. Red carpeting.
Oh, switching up to side B. Okay, let's pause. We're watching a laser disc, so it's...
Yeah. I didn't know they flip sides or anything.
They do.
That's cool.
Okay, we're continuing the commentary. So
it must have been cold. They, you know, because that guy didn't heat the pool, and so you didn't really show him.
Actually, the gaffer on this was Chris Faluna, who went on to some very, very big movies as a DP. So I guess the idea was you girls all seduce all the guys and kill them. So this is all your ex-boyfriends, I guess? I can't fucking remember.
Yes, we invited all our ex-boyfriends to come. And
look at those short shorts. Richard Gavine. Go Richard Sebastian.
Oh my God,
those are short shorts. Now watch
this. We're playing football.
They're like 3 feet away from each other.
I know. And this house actually had a basement, remember?
It did, but
which was unusual.
But the cameras were so huge, we could barely get them. No, this wasn't. Yeah, it was a basement.
Yes.
It was just a little bit of a cellar. It was a cellar.
Have one.
And that's what we got. And then now this is the soundstage.
You're right.
In the valley.
In the valley that we can't remember.
We doubled
the name of.
We can't remember the name of that soundstage.
And this is where we also watched Samson versus Supreme Dictator from Outer Space.
That's right. Do you still have that VHS?
I have it. I've got to make a copy, but my machine's broken.
Oh,
so gotta,
that,
got
I've
it.
Never laughed harder in my life.
Oh,
I
my
think.
God.
That we were at your place, and I think we just did an interview with, what was the name of that TV show? Not Hard Copy, but...
Reporters?
The Evening Show or something.
The Reporters.
It was the Evening Show.
Something PM...
PM tonight.
Yeah.
PM
something
or something like
that.
And we had, after we finished that interview, the crew left, and then we just watched. We were hanging out at your place, and we watched that movie. I never laughed harder. It's a movie that's never been released, but it's called.
Samson, Supreme Dictator from Outer Space.
Oh, so.
It's
like made by retarded people.
And they actually sent it in to be distributed.
Oh, Jesus.
That's how we got hold of it.
Oh!
Now, this is what we're going, oh, what a workout, you know, it is to do a horror film, you know?
Right. That's right.
You have to lift heavy things.
That was a pretty good head. He put his hand in the foreground that kind of shook.
It looked really good.
So this is it? I think this was in Toluca Lake or something, wasn't it?
It was Toluca Lake, yep.
Because that's like a golf course behind him there.
Oh, yeah. He's got the mullet rocking it.
Yeah, Mike Jacobs.
You want to play?
Yep.
No, I think I'll walk around some.
He looks good there. Even with a mullet.
He's such a tough guy in this.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike Jacobs, if you're out there, find me at rapidheart.com and email me. I haven't talked to you in 100 years, dude.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to you?
Yeah.
And Stephen Stewart and Roger Burt.
Yes. And we got to find Eric.
We got to find Eric Freeman. Now, this was Rachel Forney's.
Yes.
Yeah, because we
all of a sudden you see this little refrigerator. I know.
And what happened was we just didn't like that location. The owner was weird, so that last night we pulled out of there and left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was just strange.
She's got a hot little body on her, Karen.
Oh yeah, well she was a dancer and singer for Bette Midler. And just a really good dancer.
Wait a second, this was night. We actually shot this at night, and we lit up that tree behind her. That bush outside, we lit that up. This was actually a night... we actually shot this at night, so it was night for day.
That looks very good.
Yeah. Especially that wide shot. We lit that bush behind her. I mean, the little hedge. And, see, that's all night.
Yeah.
But it's lit up for day. You can't tell.
No, it looks amazing.
Usually it's the other way around. It's usually day for night. You know?
I know.
But we were, I think we were working on splits or it was scheduled. It took a while to get through this. It was not exactly a long shoot and we didn't have long days. But,
no.
You know, it was the first time I had worked with Mike Seaman as a DP and it was everything took a little longer and we had a very, fairly sizable crew, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken, and it just, you know, sometimes the bigger the crew, the slower things take, you know.
And a lot of locations.
Look at Mike's big hair, his big rock and roll hair.
Huge.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we had so many locations too. It was like crazy.
Uh-oh. Is this a sex scene now coming up?
I don't know.
Cut to potato chips.
Potato chips
and Michelob
shorts.
Sure.
I put a top on over the thing to his shirt, you know, because we were just making out, so.
Oh, this is a series of two shots here. I remember that.
Okay.
Oh, you put his shirt on over yours because you had supposedly had sex with him in the back
of
the car.
So I wanted to wear his shirt.
How romantic.
Or else he said, Linnea, nipples are showing.
Eric Freeman.
Oh, my God.
He was so tall. Remember that?
Yeah, very, very tall.
Very tall guy. Really sweet guy, too.
Yeah.
I really miss that guy. He was actually a really solid guy and good friend and stuff. And again, you just lose touch with people, you know?
Yeah.
Now people are like reuniting via Facebook and stuff.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Really amazing.
It was on the 86
band opening for Eddie. It'd be fun. I mean, I always like wish I had a time capsule to go back to these times because they were just so fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were working nonstop. We were actually paid decent back then.
And everybody stayed, you know, it was family.
Yeah, it was, absolutely.
It's just great. And we had everybody like E out, entertainment tonight.
Oh, we had tons of media.
Everything. It was just like we were always doing interviews.
Always doing interviews, People Magazine, Entertainment Week. Oh, that's that big night exterior. That looks pretty good.
That's really
of that
cool.
House.
Yeah, that's a weird house. Now, I swear, I do have a sex scene.
You do?
I told you.
Oh, I thought you did. Hello.
I know. at least I got my top off.
Get your top off.
Yeah.
What did she say? Something about...
I don't know.
Make my night. Oh, when you started to take your panties off.
It's like walking in, I remember.
And bare-assed.
Like bare-assed and going at them.
Going at them.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a Dave Dakota love scene, so it's really, like...
Tame. Yeah.
Although their love scenes in Deadly Embrace are pretty graphic.
Oh, my God, yeah. Very. I mean, that house looks pretty, but you know, on the inside is just so tiny.
It had this weird, remember this weird stained glass thing? I thought I kind of liked it. I thought the reflection
cool.
of the glass and the water was good.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, it looked beautiful, but just crazy.
Yeah, the people that owned it were crazy. But it was in Toluca Lake. I remember that.
Yeah.
Which is where Bob Hope lived in Toluca Lake.
Yeah.
Now, this is back at Rachel Forney's house.
Yes. Famous Rachel Forney, where he did all these movies. I'm surprised you don't
have some. I hate table scenes. I hate table scenes.
Why?
Because you can never get a decent master of it. Everybody's planted. There's no movement. And you have to then do coverage. And there's always an issue about which direction everybody should be looking. And the DP has one idea of where they should be looking. The script supervisor has another.
Yes.
I have another. And then the actors have another. And then by the time we don't know. By the time we get started, everybody's confused, and we don't even know what the geography is. Oh, there's your sexy.
There I'm going. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're sweaty. You're sweaty too. We made you sweaty.
That's right. That's right. What's that a picture of in the background?
I don't
My
know.
God.
Was this at Rachel Forney's or was this?
No, this was at that house.
That was at the house.
Yeah, it might have been probably their spare bedroom or something like that, I think.
You do have a big sex scene. You're really getting into it.
Yeah,
too.
I told you.
I never remember your sex scene. Sorry, Linda.
I know. I mean, they're all the same.
Naked women is not exactly what I'm into, so I never remember the naked chick, so.
Right.
Sorry.
But then it's like, oh, okay, thank you very much.
Oh, now then we did the insert. This insert when the hand or the fist comes out from underneath.
I thought that was Ken, but yeah, that's him. That's actually a very good effect.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's all done at that studio. That was
done. That is a great effect.
That was done about a month later, just that insert there. And that effect, see, when I called action, we had two cameras going, and when I called action, I literally was so, my stomach was so, because I was really, I'm very squeamish, believe it or not.
No.
I am very squeamish, and when I do horror films, I hate to do a lot of blood and gore, but that was what was very popular at the time, and it's certainly popular now. But I just, I called action, and I saw that, and I literally had to run to the bathroom. Because my entire like digestive system, I needed to use the men's room really bad, really fast. I ran to the men's room and let loose.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Because also just hearing him scream and then it was just
and the goo
and it was just
coming out of his mouth.
Oh, it was such a graphic shot.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God.
Yes, and it looks amazing, though.
Yeah, it's a great effect. I mean, David Barden is excellent.
Yeah.
He really knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I used David, based on his work, I think, on this movie and a couple of others. I used him on Puppet Master 2 and Puppet Master 3. And, I mean, almost every movie, I had him do all the makeup effects. And he was working with Steve Johnson, right?
Yes.
That's how you knew him, right?
He was working with Steve and... And, you know, he worked out of a garage on his own.
Right. He had a little studio garage warehouse thing out in the Glen Oaks area, if I'm not mistaken. And
I think it was by my house, just down the street.
You know, I think it was. I think it was. It was not too far from the house, your house. And so he just always did excellent work. So I just, and he always came in on budget and, you know, everything was delivered on time. There was never any drama and all worked out. Great with him.
No.
Is he still doing stuff? Is he still around?
I'm sure he is.
I've not used makeup effects on a movie in God knows how long. And if I do, it's sometimes outside of California, so I'm usually, I think makeup I on maybe Brotherhood 3, that was up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I used a makeup guy up there, but I don't really use a lot of makeup effects anymore,
no.
So I have really no use for it.
And it's sad, a lot of it now, all the makeup effects people have had to do, learn the CGI and...
Some of them did. You know. Some of them made the switch. I mean, early some of them made the switch, and some of them didn't, because it is truly a different, completely different, you know, mind...
Yes.
It's completely different type of work, so... No. A lot of them did not make the switch over, yeah. So.
I like the practical, just hands-on effects. Unless it's on me.
Yeah. Well, they do a lot of everything's done CGI now, it seems like, so. That's just the way it goes. Well, sometimes Lyle's two scenes.
Oh, yeah. Smallest detail. And he's got a different suit on here, so this is another day he's talking to
her. So this is like a flashback, I guess.
Yeah. Or thinking about, you know, getting out of this psych ward, I guess.
Right.
Not a sane asylum, but we called it that.
Exactly. So we shot in 60mm, we confirmed the negative, we made an answer print. The answer print was telecineed on a Rank Sintel at Photochem Laboratories 2. One-inch tape, and this is what we're watching is the one-inch tape, but we are mastering our DVD from the Laserdisc, so what you're seeing is the 4x3, 133 Laserdisc, not a 16x9. So, now this is the drunk scenes. Chug it!
He looks like he's had enough already.
Yeah. See, I needed like a master, but I needed it. I should have shot it from. God, don't get me started on where I should have shot. You look at these movies and you go, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have done this. I should have done that.
But
Eric's drunk scene.
Oh boy. But you did. You did great. You shouldn't even beat yourself up. I mean.
But
this
no,
was your. How many films did you?
Oh, maybe like 10 or 12 or 15.
Yeah.
So I was into it a little bit, but
again,
making a movie in a week is always difficult.
Yeah, but this was a hard one. This was very hard.
It was hard. What a night.
Yes, that's right. There were.
Karen is so great.
Oh yeah, she is.
She's so sexy.
She is, and I like her accent. You know that New York, tough girl accent.
Yeah. So you don't even know where people are. They're all just sort of floating in the
frame.
That's
true.
It just doesn't really, without the master, you really don't establish geography, you know. And
but you do a great job, you know.
An hour ago.
You know, a lot of times you watch these movies, even the huge ones, and they've got the wrong eye line. And completely off.
Right.
Well, so I'd say you did a great job.
Stephen Stewart had a, I think it was at Vice Academy. Did you have a, you remember, you worked with him on that, right?
Vice Academy, yes. And,
was it Vice Academy or was it one about?
Blood Nasty, I know.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Which didn't get much of
a release?
A release either. Which is, it's pretty funny. It's really pretty funny.
Alright, so what are we playing?
I'm trying to think. If it was one or two that Stewart was in, and I think it was two.
Well, this one, Blood Nasty,
no, it was
and
one.
Vice Academy. Vice Academy won because you guys, there was some, he played like a porn star in it or
yes,
something.
Yes, that was it. That was it. Yeah, I was trying to place it.
I can't remember the title.
God, thinking about it.
Didn't I meet Karen through Anthony Mora?
Yeah. I think you did.
So what was it like in there?
I think you did.
What was the name of Anthony Mora? His
PM Entertainment, and it was, oh gosh. Anthony?
Sounds like my last job.
I can't remember the other guy.
Hey, Jan. Okay.
He's being popular.
Are you still writing?
Off and on.
Oh, okay, great.
Whatever happened to you?
I did. I got the email. It looks great, and so I'm looking forward to the breakdown. Okay.
Really?
Okay, great. I can't wait. How about me? This is a great scene. I think she has like, this is her topless.
This is her sex scene, She's like, let's get down to it.
I like the little, the handcuffs.
Oh my god, yes. Uh-oh. There's always problems with handcuffs. You lose the key.
Yeah, and she just puts it over the thing.
Like, you're right. That's funny.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that'll keep them getting away. But you can't get the top off now. Oh, well.
Well, then she hears a noise.
Patio
Oh, something.
I don't want those jerks around the place. Oh, no. He doesn't like the fact that the blinds are open.
That's right. Such modesty, such a stuff. Just close the door. So she's going to, like, do something about it.
Right. Well, the window was open. Boom. And then the tree branch.
Yeah. It's hitting it, so. So now they're going to get down to it.
Yeah, she's going for that belt buckle.
Yeah. In the front of the house again.
Yeah, that's the front of the house, and then that's Rachel Forney's dining.
Rachel Forney's.
And then that's Nightmare Sisters.
Of course, you're watching a David Dakota movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, the guys that are watching the girls in the bathtub.
Right, and this is, yes, this is Rachel Forney's living room. Remember?
Yes. Yeah, the fireplace and everything.
Which is also, if you look at that fireplace, by the way, you'll see the same location in Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Ballorama. We got to the initiation.
The first part.
First part.
And the whole workout.
Were you in the first part of the movie in Sorority Babes?
No.
You didn't get to.
I don't come in until San Marcos.
That's right, until the bowling alley portion.
Until the bowling alley, yeah.
Boner.
And
Eric Freeman. Steven Stewart, Alan First. Alan did American Rampage for me.
Yeah.
We hung out a lot. He's a good guy. I don't know what happened to him. Everybody just sort of disappears.
Thank God we're here.
Yeah.
It's like really scary.
They had a kind of that 80s mullet kind of
hair. Yes. That was the way you wear your hair. Yeah.
Now this was that house in Toluca Lake here.
Yep. That's a stained glass thing. But that red carpeting is just so weird. Yeah, she got her bra back on.
I don't think she took her bra
off.
Oh,
yeah, she didn't.
That was a closet, I think. And then he goes all the way back down. Very weird glass. Very weird stained glass there.
Isn't that?
This whole house was strange.
It's kind of cool, though. I like that stained glass. There's the basement.
Oh, that's right. I think, doesn't he get killed in the basement?
Yeah, no, why does everybody go down to the basement?
I don't know.
It's like, you know, one of the rules of, like, look at, he's, like, crouching because he has to, like, try to fit between the camera and,
exactly.
And everything. It's like, okay, crouch down. And then now we're back in the studio again.
Yep.
Which, it's lit really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, remember we used to always smoke all the scenes?
Yes.
Now we don't do that anymore for some reason, because I guess when they compress...
They're very clean.
Yeah, when you compress it digitally,
yeah.
Smoke and water tend to get a lot of digital blocking and stuff, so we don't smoke it anymore. We never smoke. No, never.
See, that's why these were so atmospheric.
Uh-huh.
And everything. It just was really cool.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, which you can't do with digital.
No, not at all. You can add stuff in post, but I never really, you know.
I'm just so glad I got to be, you know, using for so many years film.
Right, that was an insert done at the studio. This was, we had to establish the fact that he broke the thing. Which didn't make a lot of sense because he broke it.
Uh-huh.
And they were supposed to shove the... What's it?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And he's got champagne and these...
Ew! Did you get sick at that too?
No, that was not bad.
Okay.
Yeah. All the makeup effects that was done on the insert stage later and it didn't really match very well, but it was good enough for... what we needed. But yeah, the idea was the champagne was going to get slammed into his throat and he was going to puke up all kinds of champagne.
Oh, it worked.
Not bad.
Yeah. But why does everybody come down to the basement?
I don't know. That's just what you do in horror films, I
think. That's true.
I think it's in the rule book.
It's the rule book, yeah.
It's the rule book.
You know, go to the basement. There's those shorts.
Those
shorts. My God. That's a different pair of short shorts.
Uh-huh. And the blood...
He grabs a knife out of nowhere. Where did that come from? that knife?
I don't know, but look at those shorts.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was a, had a great, has a great body. Look at that.
Oh yeah.
He was always really, you know.
You can see the veins in his arm and everything.
Someone killed Carrie. Just look.
This is a heavy dramatic scene here.
Yeah. Seriously, like,
mm. Oh, he pukes in the sink.
Oh yeah.
That's right. Okay. This is Rachel Forney's house. This is yeah, this is Rachel Forney's house.
What the fuck is it? He's sweating there.
What if he's in one? What then? Call the cops.
Well.
Yeah, Eric looks good there.
Eric looks really good. He has an exotic look, although he's from, like, the Midwest or something.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And look at the little round earring.
Who's wearing an earring? Oh, Steven is.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out. This was before teeth bleaching. Yes. All that kind of stuff that people do now. To be in movies, it's like keeping up.
Is Eric wearing eyeliner there?
You know, I think he got into the eyeliner too. You know, it sure looks like it.
I noticed that on Voodoo Academy, which I did many years later. And
with Eric?
On other actors. And I finally told the makeup artist for the guys.
Yeah.
I said, would you just not do eyeliner anymore? Because you can really see eyeliner on the actors anymore.
Yes.
And now with digital cameras and stuff.
Forget it.
Yeah. It's really bad. So I told him, no eyeliner. And if you could, absolutely no no eyeliner and sometimes no makeup. Maybe a
really?
Little corrective makeup, a little complexion issue or something. We kind of stay away from that.
Because you can just see it.
Right.
So clear.
And then Eric's head gets exploded here, doesn't it?
I think you're right. See, it's been so long. You know, that... Wow, look at those hedges. Are just...
Oh, yes. This is the shotgun to the head or something. I think you're holding the shotgun.
Yes! Oh my God, I forgot about that. So... Oh my God.
No, the gun.
They just happened to have a gun in the car.
Right. There's your... No,
there
oh
yeah, there I am with a bag on my head.
Yeah, that was at the studio, and then...
Yep. Now that was a weird little shot.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a lot of weird little shot. Boom. Boom.
Oh,
boom.
Yeah.
We exploded here, then...
God, that's
out.
Gross!
And I think... Maybe we did a life cast of Eric, or maybe we borrowed one from the people who did Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, I think. I can't remember.
Oh.
No, I think we did do a life cast of him. I think we did.
Oh, nice. It looked good.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
Mike.
So, our boyfriends are kind of disappearing.
Yeah, they're getting their heads blown off, or their throats slashed, or...
I remember, like, this was in Variety or whatever, you know, movies in production.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. And I remember, like, you hear from everybody you haven't heard from in years. Oh, how you doing? So what's up with you now? And, you know, oh, you're doing a movie. Oh, any parts for me? You know, it's like... obvious.
Hey, it's been so long. What are you up to?
Yeah.
How about I just check in? I was just thinking about you.
Uh-huh. Like, you never call me ever.
Yeah. No, I'm in the trades.
Yes.
This is a very dramatic scene.
You know what? We did...
This is at Rachel Forney's.
What, didn't we do another interview at your office, Cinema Home Video? That they did for, it was the reporters or something, of auditioning the guys coming in.
Really?
Where they said, I say to them, you're there, I'm there, and I said, and you're it! And I, like, you know, act like I'm killing them.
Really?
It was,
maybe we did.
Do you remember that?
Maybe we did. I can't.
And Stephen Stewart was one of the actors that came in.
Oh, that makes sense. Was it for this movie?
I think it was from this movie. I think so. And we ran through like three guys or something like that. And they showed the casting process of us having the guys.
Wow, I can barely remember. It kind of sounds familiar.
It was either the reporters or one of those, but put together a reel for you, your PR reel.
My PR reel.
Yeah. She doesn't know anything.
I do you ever have any of those interviews on tape?
Yeah, they're on VHS.
And really?
As soon as I fix my player to make it to DVD, I can get you one.
I think it's your cable on your Magnavox.
Yeah. So I've got to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Magnavox should just send me a free one.
Yeah. But I like to see those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is you.
Oh, yeah.
And we make you
this
real tall.
This is at the studio.
We make you real tall.
Yes. Probably standing on apple boxes or something.
See, I needed to have... Yeah, you were on apple box. You jumped off the apple boxes there. I need more geography. And then we have to... we actually do gunfire.
And on this one, there's some stock footage.
We don't even know that you're hiding behind... They're hiding behind... See, that's the problem with this.
Yeah, because... This was at the house.
Yeah, but you're
supposed... And the other was at the studio.
No, that was at the studio. That's at the house. I remember we shot that at the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
But look at the carpet.
Yeah, but this is at the Rachel Forney's. Now, this is back at the house.
Okay.
At the house in Toluca Lake. Because you see the stairway in the house in Toluca Lake is like a circular one. This one's a square one.
Right, that's right. But I remember having that bag over my head at the studio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, maybe you did for the gunfire.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, you did at the gunfire.
Yes.
But you did have it. I remember you standing on the apple boxes and we had you on apple boxes. I don't know why I put you so high. I don't know what I was thinking.
You wanted it to be like, maybe it's a guy.
Yes, exactly. Maybe that was a tall...
Because at this point, it's like, you don't know who the killer really is.
Right.
Maybe just some strange guy off the street.
Right.
Because, you know, the window was open, and this and that.
Right, right, that's right. And this is a great shot of Karen here.
Oh, the movie's over.
And this is...
Rachel Forney's.
This is Rachel Forney's. Yeah, this is back in the days where you could just rent a real gun.
Is that a real gun?
Yeah, and they with just blanks. What was that?
That was...
Oh, that was him for the neck.
Yes, that's right.
I think.
He finds them.
And...
from the champagne.
You could go to some of these prop places and they would have an arsenal in there. You could rent any... As long as you had a driver's license, you could rent a gun. But if you had... real bullets, you could use them, but they were set up for blanks, but you could put real bullets in there, so you literally anybody could go in. But that whole all changed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that all changed.
After there were some actors killed.
Oh no, it was not necessarily the actors killed. No, it was just people. You didn't even have to be in the film industry. You can go rent a gun.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That is good.
Kevin? And then I also think, oh, this is what the heck is going on here.
I don't know why, and he got shot.
Man, I thought you bought it. That's right, he ended up there. Yeah, she's in the cell. That's great. You gonna make it? This movie has some geography. She says, what's all the sweat for? I don't know what we were thinking. I can't find that motherfucker. Maybe was it hot while we were shooting? I don't think so. Maybe we just sweated them up before we
did this. Yeah, I think so. Like, they're nervous.
Yeah, and they're running around, and they have a little sweat.
Yeah, because we actually would get touch-ups and stuff. Unlike a lot of movies now, they don't hardly touch you up. And they're back at the studio. She said she was in here. She was. Looking for the killer. I gave her a gun. We would have heard shots. I'm trying to even remember if anybody gets out alive.
I don't think I saw it. Oh, I know what we did. We also used a body burn at the end of this from Lady Avenger.
Yes. That's the stock footage I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly, we did. Yeah, we had a body burn from Lady Avenger that we shot at Movie Tech Studios for that film, Lady Avenger, and we had to use it for this. And then she throws the gasoline. Now, that's you. See, that's you at the warehouse.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
And she's going to, like, oh, boy.
Then that's...
I was glad I didn't have to do that.
And then that's a stock shot from Lady Avenger body burn.
Oh, yeah. Those are dangerous to do, too.
Oh, I know. He's like, holy shit.
I know. It's like, you'd think they'd get out of there. Like, there's just a fire going on here. That's a pretty one. Body burn, wow. And then I just... Oh, I'm melting!
She did all this? One strong little bitch.
That's funny. They're just like... Well, you know, I think she's dead.
Oh, God. What a movie.
Yeah, they're like smiling now. Oh, yeah.
Then at the end he says, hey... Hey, what? I love you, or something.
Ah, I love you, man.
I love you. There's always that like possibility that was gonna happen, that they were gonna leave together.
He's helping them up.
They were hooking up. It's like, dude, I'm not into chicks. I don't know where these crazy chicks came from.
I know.
But of course that.
One of the psychopaths. Is she alive or dead?
I don't know. You got burned.
Yes.
Oh, this is your big ending with that makeup on you.
That's right. He's gonna go over and check out the damage and death and destruction.
And there you are. That's a hell of a man.
It's half the face.
Half the face.
I'm like, David Dennett. Yeah. That's a Brian De Palma moment.
That was a Brian De Palma moment. That's right. Just as scary as Carrie. Just as scary as Carrie. Lyle Waggoner, Lynette Quigley as Dawn. Well, wow. This was a fun sort of...
Yeah.
Flashback to our crazy 80s and 90s life. We had, we've all moved on. We've all made several hundred movies, haven't we?
Oh, my God.
You've made, I think, according to your IMDb, you've got over 120 movies that you were in.
Which is...
And,
more than I thought. Yeah. I used to have to pad my resume, like, trying to think of something and, like, pretend I did a play or something.
Well, I directed about... I think it's about, according to the IMDb, is about 94, 95, uh-oh, as of August 28th, 2012. But I'm, a lot of that includes some of my early love stories, which we don't talk much about, but yes, uh-huh. But yeah, my early love stories. So I've done quite a bit. So we've had a pretty good career so far, Hollinaya.
I think so. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, fun.
Travel.
Great weather, great people, great food.
Being, like, stars. Do you get recognized?
Well, now, because of Facebook, I do on occasion. People do. And also, I'm in a couple of movies, like Ginger Dead Man 2. I play myself in that.
I gotta see that.
Yeah, so, it's so on occasion. But, of course, you must get recognized all the time.
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Oh, especially also, with Cougar Cult now out.
Exactly. Well, look, I do this thing called trailersfromhell.com. Trailersfromhell.com. Joe Dante is an old friend and asked me to be a part of it, and I said I would love to. And so I introduce a lot of trailers on that, so I do get a lot of recognize me from that. And but definitely find me at rapidheart.com, rapidheart.com, to keep in touch with what I'm up to. And you're on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Oh, Mark Whitney worked on this. Okay.
Oh.
Oh, and Jeff Johnson. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Faluna, hell of a gaffer.
Ralph Sanchez. No, that was Paula.
Paula. Duncan Squad Pump and Henry Hammond and Terry.
Oh, God, please.
Those people don't exist. These are all phony names to stretch out the credits.
Just names that alone.
And this is David Barton. And doing the effects and second in directing. Oh, so Tom was on the second unit for that too. And JR was on the makeup effects.
We had a second unit, man. Wow. Yeah. And then Cindy Warren.
Cindy Warren with Wilma Rubble and Betty Flintstone. I have a sneaking suspicion those two people don't exist.
I don't think so. I do not think so.
We don't think we had a wardrobe person. Bob Ivy did do the body burn. Don Stanley was the, there was no car chases, so I don't know why we needed. And then the Rosenthal Group production group. Oh, that was probably Jim Rosenthal. Springboard Studios.
That was it.
Springboard Studios.
I would have never.
I don't know if they're around
remembered
anymore.
Remembered it.
I don't know if they're around anymore. Larry Gelcash or Rory's Clot Pump.
Yeah.
Color by Photo. Yeah, Susan McShane at General Cameras, where we. No, we didn't rent from them. No, yes, that was the Panavision rep in Hollywood. Was General Camera West. I don't know if they're around anymore. Motion Opticals, Jim and Linda did the Ultra Film Service, which was Fred Tietzel. And Post Sound at California Audio Post on Sunset Boulevard. I think they're now in Burbank. I think they're called California Digital Post now, I think.
There's and then we had rap parties after all these, too.
We did rap parties. Well, we got drunk and it was fun.
We
were very naughty. We were all very naughty. Well, it was great seeing you, Linnea. I hope that you...
you too.
I hope that you enjoyed making the movie. I know I did. And looking at it again after all these years, it's a lot of fun. And who knows? Cinema Home Video may come back. We'll find out.
Oh, that'd be cool.